Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
The creators of Comedy Central's South Side have teamed up with WBEZ Chicago to bring you South Side Stories. This is a podcast about the real people and places from the South Side of Chicago. Subscribe now to South Side Stories to find out what life on the South Side is all about.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Please, if you listen to our podcast, please tell a friend. Please, we need you to listen to the podcast. I want you to listen to the podcast.
We actually don't need you to listen to the podcast, but we do need you to tell a friend to subscribe to our show.
Yeah, tell a friend. Tell any friend. I don't care if your friend's the BTK killer. Tell
him. One good technique, you could tell your friend that we talk shit about him on this episode, and then...
And be like, we're not going to say what... I can't say what they said about you.
Hello. Welcome to Your Two Dads.
Hello, Sean. It's so nice to have you back in the studio.
Yeah. The episode you're about to hear is an episode in which I called out of because I hurt my back.
It's amazing.
Do you want to hear the story?
I do. Isn't it crazy that this job of sitting and talking, you still couldn't do it?
I mean, as they'll come to learn, I still called in.
Yeah, you did.
I tried to call in the whole episode, but apparently it sounds like fucking shit.
It sounded like you were on an airplane that was about to take off.
Yeah, I wasn't in Phoenix, Arizona. I really threw my...
So what happened? Because I've thrown my back out 3 times now, and it's real.
It's real, and it hurts.
It's not just a TV sitcom trope.
No, so, well, first off, how you dadding? I'm dadding not that well. So what happened was, I'm working on this show. It's premiering.
You can talk about it now.
Yeah, I could talk about
Let's talk about it.
It's premiering on September 16th. I'm the head writer of A Little Late with Lily Singh. It's great, but we were filming it for the first day on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I was moving a couch.
Which you're not supposed to be
I'm
doing.
Not supposed
unless
to be doing.
It's in your office.
Yeah, it's a union man's job, but I'm a union man. The WGA. And I tried to lift a couch, and I felt my back go out. It like seized.
Yeah.
Like I've never experienced that where it felt like I got hit on the vertebrae with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And then,
you said it was in the middle of your back, not the lower back.
Well, yeah, but the lower back was the thing that was most bothering me yesterday when I was doing the tiger bomb and the muscle relaxers and the heat pad. But yeah, my middle of my back, I mean, here's the thing. When you got as much back as I do, it's all the same. Like, if you see where I'm pointing, this is technically the lower
back. Oh, you're calling that your...
But it's maybe my middle back. Yeah. I don't know. It all hurts. Except for the top, because the top I've never put pressure on because I have poor posture.
Although you did walk in here today and you seem to be moving around fine.
Well, the good thing about that, Julian, is I have taken muscle relaxers. I've taken a bunch of aspirin. I had a Vicodin left over from my wisdom teeth. I took Ativan.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
I'm not even panicking about potentially overdosing.
Yeah. You're like...
But my mouth is dry.
Well, that's, you know, you can take something else for that. Do they have pills for dry mouth?
They do not.
Water.
Oh, water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Water and a pill.
Yeah, so yesterday I woke up in the morning. I couldn't get out of bed.
You're lucky to be doing this fine right now. Like, literally, when I threw my back out, I was out for 3 days. I couldn't move.
Well, I was in bed I got at home from filming at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I was in bed from 6:30 p.m. till about 9 a.m. this morning, or 8:30 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
And I took a hot shower.
You really feel like garbage when your back goes out, because you're like, your head is fine, and you just can't help your family. And they're just like, I swear to God, I can't help you. I want to.
I felt like such a piece of shit, because I hurt, like, because Nolan's actually been sleeping late.
Mm-hmm.
And at like 8:30, I woke up on Sunday and I was like, you gonna get that? I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been cool.
Well, welcome to the club. Yeah. Now that it went out, by the way, you have to be really careful.
You know what I miss, though? It was kind of weird to not brush my teeth for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Well, I felt like my teeth grew hair.
Yeah, they get furry.
Yeah, they
it's
get furry.
Really gross.
I really hated it. How are you, Daddy?
Well, it just reminded me. I mean, the back stuff is so devastating that I, when you said that, it just like, it's like PTSD for me. I'm like, I'm right there.
Well, yeah,
I remember.
So you were throwing your back out a lot.
I threw it out 3 times, I think, total. But it's been for years now, and it's so scary when it happens. You can feel it about to happen after a while,
yes.
And you're like, oh, crap, you know. The last time it happened, I was trying to put a costume dress on Lulu, and I was bending over to put it on her, and then midway through it, I just screamed and hit the floor.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I said, go get mama, and she was like, ha, 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 like joking, and I'm like, I'm not joking at all. And it was awful, man. It was on Father's Day.
Yeah, you wiped that smile off your face, you little bitch. The only other time I threw my back out was playing baseball, and that was like... I remember driving home and being like, I tried to drive from the Valley to my house in Atwater.
Oh, you mean adult baseball?
Adult baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like fully reclined. I learned my lesson that time, so I didn't do it driving back from downtown. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. It sucks all the dicks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I was trying to figure out if I had kidney stones or not.
Oh, right.
But I don't think I do. Even though I do take...
Well, they're just not big enough to feel them yet. But yeah. I'm sure they're growing in you, buddy.
Yeah, I got some chunky-ass pisses lately.
You drink... gross, dude. If it smells like movie popcorn, that's how you know you're in trouble.
Yes. but was the podcast good without me?
I mean,
they're about to listen, but...
We were obviously missing your unique perspective on things. But it was a good episode. Rory and I hadn't seen each other in a while, and...
He's
you know?
Just the funniest guy. He's when I called
guy.
In, I was
he's
like,
a funny guy.
I wanted to kill myself because I had so much fun.
But
calling
he's also
in.
He's not one of those guys that's on all the time. So you can have a real conversation with him. He's not like, you know. Oh. So but he's great. And we had a fun conversation. He even texted me the next morning saying he was still thinking about the things that we talked
Whoa,
about.
So you guys get real in this episode.
Yeah, we kissed a little bit.
Well, this is gonna be I'm gonna say right now, this is gonna be the first episode of this I ever listened to.
Well, let's get into it. It was a great episode, and Sean does make an appearance late in the game, so stick around for that.
And you will, you can see, Roy, you probably have seen his stand-up special on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about who he is.
Yeah, he's
a comics comic. All the comics love to watch Rory. He almost never does the same thing twice. He's had a special, Rory does stand-up.
Rory Scovel tries stand-up for the first time. Rory Scovel tries stand-up for the first time. And he also has a new show coming to Comedy Central in 2020 called Robbie,
where he plays a youth pastor basketball coach.
And when you listen, you'll know why.
So, yeah, let's get to the interview and stick around to hear Sean on pills.
Hey, listener, have you ever wondered where your family comes from? Well, guess what? You could discover more about them and learn about your own story by combining the Ancestry DNA test with billions of historical family records.
Basically, you want to do Ancestry because your family always tells you where you're from and the story of your family, but they're usually lying to you, and they make it sound better than it really is and all that stuff.
You could find out the truth.
You want to find out the truth. In my personal experience with this product, let me just tell you, you're not sure how much it's going to affect you. You're like, this might be fun. This might be cool. I don't know. I don't really have high expectations, whatever. Then you get the information and it really like gets you in a place where you didn't know you had feelings. And you're like, really, it's very fascinating. And it actually gives you a sense of like self in a way that you would not expect. Like, that was my experience.
When you found out you were Swedish?
When I found out I was Swedish and also a woman. Wouldn't that be great if you found out you're a woman?
Oh,
I'd be
man.
Like, oh.
Wow. That
I need to be a better person.
I'm 43% woman.
So here's what you can do. People are probably wondering, hey, what do I get with Ancestry.com? Well, you can trace your ancestors' journeys over time, which is cool. You get the actual narrative, the story of your ancestors.
Well, they were on a ship.
There's always a ship.
Yeah,
there's got to be a ship.
Oh, and you come from Ireland. You're not swimming here.
Yeah.
It would be so cool, though, to find out if you were related to, like, Amelia Earhart, mm-hmm. to know that, like, you also shouldn't fly planes.
That's probably good, because I'm pretty sure I shouldn't. I was like, they're probably not going to be able to find my family, because, like, who's my family? I never did anything, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. They've combined DNA results with over 100 family trees and billions of records to give you more insight into your genealogy and origins. The stuff they come back with, you wouldn't believe. It's so cool, and you really can learn about, like, this is why I have no attention span. It's because my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a goldfish. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Exactly. My only fear is finding out that every one of my ancestors was a witch.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
But we all know that that's fake, and that actually makes my ancestors heroes.
But it would explain why you sink when you get in the water.
I do sink. Mm-hmm. And also my body hates being on fire.
You would never know that. You would never know that without Ancestry.com. So go to Ancestry.com/podcast today for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/podcast. Go find out what you're made of. Hey, Rory.
Hey.
It's so good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you.
You're on the cusp of... that, you know, you used to be a real person, and now you're just going to be so famous.
I've never been either of those things.
You've been on the cusp for 12 years.
Dude, the cusp, that's a great title.
On the cusp?
Or just the cusp.
Oh, the cusp. As a podcast?
Live from the cusp.
Yeah. You just interview dudes that are supposed to to explode soon.
You should be known by now, right?
It sucks to do that podcast twice.
Yeah. 10 years apart. 10 years apart still.
Still on
I'm
the
just
cusp.
Riding the cusp.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You're here on a Sunday. What are your Sundays typically like? You are a father of one.
I'm a father of one. I watch golf.
You have a full-time wife, correct?
Full-time wife.
Uh-huh.
Part-time child.
Okay. What?
Full-time child. Full-time wife, full-time child. I watch golf on Sundays.
Okay.
And
How old is your child?
She's 4.
And I'm going to need her astrological sign.
Shit.
That's the worst one.
Just the shit emoji?
That's such a shit thing to say.
It's just the shit emoji. She'll be fine.
So that's late January,
I think she's
right?
Like a leader. I guess she's a leader.
She's a leader.
And funny.
Like that's a metric.
She's like a funny leader.
Oh, a leader. I thought you meant like you were measuring her. She's a leader.
No. She's just a leader of like fluid. Soul and fluid and guts. She's doing great.
You really don't know her sign?
No.
When was she born?
I don't know. I don't want to give my kids...
birthday. What's your social... I can figure out if you give me your social
security. What's your home address? What's your credit card number?
What's your alarm
what's
code?
What's the expiry date?
So you usually watch golf. Is there golf right now?
There's golf right now.
What is it?
Right now is the end of the season. Like, it's the final tournament of the season right now.
Are the glasses you're wearing
in
Google...
Atlanta.
Are they Google glasses
yeah,
and
I'm
you're
watching
it?
You like see my eyes are just like over here. Hold on. Oh,
in the middle of the conversation. Yes.
God, what a putt.
Get in the hole.
Swear to God, I'm here. Swear to God, I'm 100% here.
Do they? They still don't remove the guy that yells "get in the hole" every time a guy putts, right?
More and more people say it.
It's getting worse.
Golf is becoming rowdier.
No.
To the point where the players themselves are like openly saying, like, I think we should tone it down a little bit out on the course.
Yeah.
There was because some of the players also. Or some of the spectators will like cheer against people. And
oh, that's not what golf is about.
So there's two sides of this argument where people are like, well, it's the sport and you're at a sport and they're cheering against you.
Okay.
And the players and some, you know, people who respect and love the game are saying like, but that's not the game. The game isn't that you come out and cheer like against people. It's that you just show up and cheer who you're cheering for, who you're cheering for, but you're not there to go, I hope you lose.
Right.
Like, it's not a trash talk thing.
This is an interesting subject to me because if you think about it, every sport has its own culture and personality.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, how much does, like, how important, is it okay for that to change over the years? Like, tennis changed with when Andre Agassi blew down doors.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
said, I'm going to wear long hair.
Yeah, I'm going to wear fake long hair.
Well, we didn't know that at the time. We believed.
Yeah, I still believe, even though I know.
How precious do you think the culture of a sport is?
I mean,
because basketball definitely has gone through some stuff.
But I think... I think those sports of like basketball, football, even baseball, given the fact that the pace is different, but and soccer, mm-hmm. like I think trash talking and cheering against people and yelling shit,
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of a part of that atmosphere.
Right.
It kind of makes it fun. Like Spike Lee shit talking Reggie Miller
mm-hmm.
is one of the most iconic moments in sports history.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it in the reverse,
that. It's great.
If you think about it in the reverse, is it just as weird? Like telling people at a golf tournament that they can now just heckle.
Yeah.
Openly
yeah.
is the same as telling people at a basketball game you can no longer heckle.
Yes.
Because, you know?
I don't know that it's the same. And also, no one's telling them not to, like, heckle. It's interesting, because it's like an evolving culture.
Yeah.
And you now have... God, I could talk about this for hours. But, like, Tiger Woods truly changed the what the sport
yes.
is
right.
in incredible ways, in all of these positive ways. And now the pro golfers who are in their 20s and early 30s, mm-hmm. they grew up watching the guy who brought style and swagger to the game.
Right.
So that they're starting at style and swagger.
Right.
So because
and John
of that,
Daly's like, you're welcome, guys.
Yeah. But because of that, he's like, my loud pants. But because of that, you have these players that like. To an extent and to a degree, kind of like firing up the crowd.
Right.
The
oh, Ryder Cup, yeah.
The Ryder Cup, where it's, you know, Europe versus the United States, mm-hmm. that has kind of become a part of that tournament where, infamously, Patrick Reed was playing Rory McIlroy. Do you know these players?
Yeah.
You
don't I, know have Rory, to. I know Rory. I don't know Patrick Reed.
So they're competing in their own match on the final day or whatever.
Okay.
Patrick Reed, I think, is maybe 10 to 15 feet away for a putt.
Uh-huh.
Rory McIlroy is like 40... This is a huge... I don't know it. So he's like 40 to 60 feet away. I know it's a wide berth.
Yeah.
He's very
far. He's not
far.
Supposed to sink it.
He's not supposed to make it.
Right.
And it's on U.S. soil.
Okay.
He makes it and uh-huh. does this huge, like, I can't hear you to the crowd. Like,
really?
He's doing like, I can't hear you now. I can't hear you. Like, I just drained this putt. And you can, and people... And the whole audience... They're golf fans.
Yeah.
But in this moment, they're cheering against someone they know is one of the greatest.
Right.
And it makes it kind of fun.
That is fun.
Patrick Reed then drains his putt.
Uh-oh.
Looks over at Rory and does
did a finger wag.
He did the finger.
The Dikembe Mutombo finger wag.
It's famous because Rory like kind of starts to laugh walking off and then stops and waits for Patrick Reed to come over and they do like a... Hey, let's physically show... No, they're like, hey, let's physically show the crowd that this is all like... In theater, it's not,
okay.
We're not like, we don't hate each other, and we're not about to like spit in each other. We're not going off to tweet about this, like shitting on each other.
Right. So what did they do?
They like shook hands and like, they both kind of laughed like, oh, this isn't really a part of our sport. I think this moment in particular is very interesting because
they should have made out.
Well, they like shook hands and like, and they walked to the next tee box being like, hey, we're having fun. This isn't really a part of the sport, but it's the Ryder Cup, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That moment kind of bled into other tournaments where the crowd has been like, oh, well, every tournament will just be like, I hope you miss Rory. Like,
well, you know,
while he's like taking a practice swing, and they're like, ah, that's not really what golf is. And I got to agree. I feel like it's like, just watch the fight. These two people aren't necessarily, all of the people playing right now are not necessarily playing against each other.
Right.
Everyone is just playing to shoot their best score
right.
and then hope that's the best
right.
of the 4 days.
Exactly.
But so when you get out there and you cheer against people, it's like, it's not like the other sports we're talking about where it's literal head to head.
Right.
I affect you not winning.
You know, what's funny about how the crowd is reacting to that, though, is the same way, not to make too amazing a segue into parenting.
I love it.
But it's the same way that the parents need to set an example and your behavior. Once you break something, it's very hard to go back. So if your kids see you do something that's like breaking the rules, they're like, good, that one's done.
Yeah,
we're not doing that rule anymore.
Rules can be broken.
Yeah. And that's what happened. And you can't be like, we did that one time, but don't be assholes now. And they're like, too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We like this. We're eating and going right in the pool.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know all that was going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
I mean, it's for the highest purse of the entire season. It's for $15 million they're playing for right now.
That's how fractured culture is now. Because, like, when I was 15, if that happened, it wouldn't matter if I didn't care about golf. I would absolutely
know
that happened.
Yeah.
And now it's like, There's just too much stuff.
There's too many subreddits.
You know what I saw on Instagram today? Girl climbers. It's an Instagram for women who climb rocks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's too much stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with females doing it.
But you
just
kind of thought it would be climbers.
Just climbers. Yeah. Even then, even 10 years ago, it'd be like, climbers. They don't get a thing.
They don't get to have something.
Is it hard to find time to golf with a kid, or is that...
Not with a kid, and also because of our jobs, you know, being Thursday through Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If
you're on the road,
stand-up,
you can find...
Yeah, there's tons. And also, when you're on the road, you take your clubs, you can play the whole weekend guilt-free.
Isn't it hard to take your clubs on the road?
No, it's easy.
Really?
Yeah, it sucks having to check a bag, but if the benefit
you
is...
You gotta pay another ticket for your caddy.
You have to pay for the caddy. You've gotta fly them there.
I'm really doing it.
You gotta put them up. It's not so bad. I'm gonna play in Cleveland. I'm playing in Cleveland in September. And I'm going to bring my clubs and play 3 straight days. That's worth it. That's worth bringing the clubs.
That's great.
Yeah.
What kind of dad would you say you are? What's your style?
God, you know, I think I constantly go through wondering that.
Okay.
Because I try to be the young, enlightened, not that I'm young, but like the young, enlightened, cool, hip, gets it, knows how to communicate dad.
Like they said, the young, enlightened, and I know I'm not young.
But you know,
I'm enlightened, but
I'm still aiming for young, despite the fact it's physically impossible.
And I'm enlightened and shouldn't care about that.
Yeah. And I try to...
You want
to
be with it.
I want to be with it. I want to be communicative. I want to be vulnerable. I want to do all those things. And I think I have glimmers of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's other moments where
I think... What do you mean by vulnerable? What's vulnerable to you?
I think having an open, honest relationship with your kid. I think the vulnerability, I mean, is in the communication of like reassuring how you feel or talking to your child on their level.
Yeah.
Which does take a certain level of vulnerability to
sounds
go,
like
I'm
going to
step
of
outside
contact.
Of how I talk. Tons of eye contact, which my kid will like look off. And I'm like, I'm trying to like get her in the zone of always looking people in the
eye. Your kid's like J-Lo. There's no eye contact.
There's none. And she's asked. She's like, please stop. Please stop and don't ask for pictures.
So, yeah.
All right. And then other times I think I'm just my dad.
What was your dad's style?
Can be good or bad, but... I don't really, I think my dad maybe thought the same thing, but when my dad would like get upset about something, and this is how I am, I hate that I'm like this, but if I get upset about something, like if she's saying no a lot, or she's just not listening, or she's doing something she's told not to do, I fucking fly off the handle.
Yeah.
Like not in an abusive way.
Sure.
But maybe in an emotionally abusive way where it's like, oh, my dad is a loose cannon. And he knows it, and he can't stop it.
I don't think we understand how much we radiate.
Yeah.
You know? Because we're not, like, I'm not cursing. I'm not yelling at her.
Yeah.
But it's like, they can, you know how I know? Because my dad today is the most, like, gentle, wonderful pothead poet, awesome dude. He's so sensitive. He's so cool, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was terrified of him when I was a child.
Right.
And I think it's because he was really stressed out during those years.
Yeah,
you know, we were living in San Francisco. He was like working a warehouse job. We were barely getting by kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's really stressed out. 2 young kids, the whole deal. But I'm like, he never raised his voice. So why was I so scared of him?
Right.
And it's because I think we just give off. When we're mad, we just give off this like, you know, very strong atmosphere.
Yes.
You know, and it's hard to let that go.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I'll admit. I
Right. And I don't, I hate it. And also when it's happening, I'm aware it's happening.
Yeah.
And I could counteract it. I could turn it off. I could do something. And I don't because I've just, in my mind, I'm convinced that if I turn it off and I don't lay into this discipline, my kid's going to be shitty, but she's fucking 4.
Right.
Now, granted, she does some shit. I mean, I'm not saying at 4 years old, they just get off and you just go,
they're
4.
No.
Everything's
starting
forgivable.
To learn their, you know,
their
boundaries.
They know manipulation.
That.
They know boundaries.
Oh, yeah,
they
definitely.
Start to learn the boundaries and like going outside of them. But yeah, there's like even yesterday, we were like driving in the car and like she asked for like fruit snacks. And my wife was like, I don't have any fruit snacks. And she was like, I want fruit snacks. And she was like, I don't even have any. She's like, you're not getting any, but I don't have any anyways.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's what I want. and I just turn around. I'm driving. I just turn around.
With your mouth full of fruit snacks.
I'm like, grape is the best. It's the best flavor.
Spittle pieces of fruit snacks are flying out of your mouth.
The strawberry ones are the best ones. Just so.
So what'd you do? You turn around.
I turn around and just grab her stuffed animals and hand them to my wife. And immediately she's like screaming, crying. And I'm just still driving like I'm
like you don't get these animals anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want my stuffed animals. And I was just like, seems like you don't want them.
Seems like you missed the days when you just wanted fruit snacks.
Yeah. Seems like you don't want them because all you want is those fucking... I so badly want to just talk to her in my normal adult tone where it's like, come on, dude, fucking chill out.
You know,
do you curse in front of your child?
Yes. I keep it to a minimum, but I definitely do.
And what's your philosophy on doing that or not doing that? Because I would say the large percentage I'd say it's of keep parents it, don't do that.
I think it's keep it to a minimum is my philosophy.
Sure.
I don't think that it's my job to completely change the way I speak around her.
Or assume that they'll never one day speak realistically
either. Yeah, it's insane.
Right.
They've already demonstrated. I have Goldie, who's 6, and Luella, who's 4.5.
Yeah.
I've already demonstrated. They've already demonstrated that they know what the bad words are don't use them.
Yeah,
they know. And we never showed them a list. We didn't do a PowerPoint.
If you look up here.
Yeah. And but we'll play songs with bad words in them and they'll sing the whole song and then skip over the bad words.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're in the room.
It's very smart and aware.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I guess bad words sound bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your philosophy on it?
I curse because that's how I talk naturally.
Right.
And
what about the racial slurs? Do you hold back on those?
All the time. Non-stop.
They got to know how to identify them.
I just say, look, this is how I talk. So bizarre to like picture. It's so real. I mean, so real, but still so bizarre to picture like you doing it.
You know, she asked me the funniest question the other day. We were at the reservoir and Goldie goes, I forget how they came up, but she goes, are Indians mean? And I was like,
well, yeah, but they're like the painting of like how they're like their image is put out there probably in so many ways makes it seem that way.
Yeah, I was like, first of all, Native American. And she was like,
and you
okay.
shoved her a little bit.
I did.
Yeah.
And then I said, no, they were probably like everyone. There were some mean ones and there were some nice ones. They're human beings. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's reading Little House on the Prairie. And I guess that one is like, you know.
That Laura Ingalls.
I know. You know. What a racist.
I'll tell you what.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey guys, we want to talk to you about Relish.
Okay.
Relish is an app. It's a relationship app that helps you strengthen your relationship.
Julian and I have been using it
together. Yeah,
together.
And we have the sex has never been better.
we both don't come.
But it's more of a communication. It's a conversation.
It's a conversation, and we're learning that through this app. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay that neither of you are getting hard.
Relish, it's a very cool idea, and basically they've created an app where they ask you a questionnaire about yourself, what makes you you in terms of your a romantic partner, right? Mm-hmm. And you ask the questions. They have questions for you, they have questions for your partner, and then they have questions for you as a couple. You answer all those questions, you get a profile that's specifically tailored to your relationship, and then they send you like awesome tips and like exercises and games and stuff that you can do throughout the week to stay connected, to do the work. You know how people always say relationships are a lot of work?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people forget to do that.
It's
and Relish
so,
is like, here's how to make that work fun.
Like, I tried it with my wife. We both entered in what we were like. It turns out, in the many years we've been together, she really loves penguins.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, you don't talk enough about penguins. So one day, it gives me this tip to see what we should do. And it's like, take her to see fucking penguins.
Yeah.
Or take her to see penguins.
Sometimes the answer really is black and white.
Yeah. Dad joke. So we went to see Penguins.
Relish is giving our listeners a free 7-day trial. All you have to do is go to hellorelish.com/2dads. That's the number 2 and dads. And you'll get 7 days free. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Try Relish for free today by going to hellorelish.com/2dads. That's the number 2 and dads. That's HELLORELISH, relish like the condiment, .com/the number 2 and dads for a free 7-day trial. And we're back. We were talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder, the author of The Little House on the Prairie.
I forgot. Wilder.
Racist.
Wilder.
No, I have no. I haven't read them. I don't remember.
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Billy Wilder's grandmother.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I have no idea. I meant to say Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
This is dad brain. We're just like yelling out things you think you remember. Yeah.
Gene. Billy. Billy Gene.
What's the thing you wish you could do better the most?
As a dad?
As a dad, yeah.
Fudge.
That was good. You caught yourself.
I don't know.
Well, if you had a dad's... Okay, go ahead.
You know what? Maybe be less selfish. I think I tend to take care of myself and my needs first.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because... Now I'm trying to like just defend myself. So, but, and
it's
I'm
like
not
with
crazy
the oxygen
because...
mask. Yeah, you put your own oxygen mask on first.
And then I think I forget to like...
And then I use hers too because I'm like, I need extra oxygen.
This one's more comfortable. And then I give her that first one. I think I grew up one of 7 kids, lot of kids, and I think I just look out for myself. I think I just make
you
sure that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, maybe that has carried over into just being like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up also being such an individual thing. There's
it
also
rewards
this,
narcissism.
It does. Mm-hmm. Like in a way that is almost required to a degree. It can also get out of hand, as you and I both have seen and probably somewhat
experienced. Let's name 6 people.
Let's both let's name names for the next hour. But all, myself included in that, where, you know, you get a little full of yourself and you have to get humbled, like in all things.
Right.
It happens in this business. And I don't know. I think there's a part of that that carries
That's
over.
That's interesting. I wouldn't think that would be a problem for you because of your looks.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
To be humbled?
Yeah.
Constantly. But I think there's an element of that where, you know, you're going on the road and I'm constantly juggling in my head. And I keep saying we because I feel like we're doing the same things. We're doing stand-up. We're coming up with show ideas. We're auditioning for stuff.
We are doing
But you're just constantly going, and there's no map. And you know that if you kind of stop for whatever reason, you're almost like, oh, did I lose my rhythm? And am I now out of it? Did I miss a window?
I did that for I had some rough times personally, and I kind of like put stand-up in the back burner.
Yeah.
And I'm finally re-engaging with it.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, man, I did so much work on not being such a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah.
That now I'm like, do I have to turn it back on? It's
I
like
know.
I don't know what
exactly.
to do. I'm really struggling with like booking shows and stuff because I feel bad.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's my job.
But
it's
you
just
also
so...
you go on the road where you're just taking care of yourself. You're on your own schedule. You sleep. You go eat. You are completely
everything's on your own schedule. Yeah.
Out of a weekend, you know, Thursday to Sunday, you're doing that. And let's say you're hitting the road hard. And let's say you're gone 3 weekends a month, maybe more. Even 2 weekends, you're living 8
days. I had to stop.
Yeah. And so I haven't been going on the road a lot. I'm about to go back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes me feel like I'm not around. And then when
you're not around.
It makes me feel that way because I'm not. And then when I'm back, it makes me feel like I'm still not around because I'm still in this brain that I can't turn off because of how to survive in our business. And when I say survive, I'm not talking about like trying to make it. I'm talking about specifically just going, how do I maintain income?
Yeah.
And to maintain income, as products, which is what we are,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a show.
Yeah,
you have to have this thing that you have to nurture. And so I would say for me, I sometimes, when I'm away from it, I feel like, oh, I need to pay more attention to stand-up. And then when I'm paying attention to stand-up, I'm like, ah, my kid's life is going to be
right
come and gone. And I'll be like, ah, where did it all go? I mean, mm-hmm. she's only four, but I already feel like I've missed so much. And that's from a dad who's been around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, compared to someone who, and I would say most people
I think this
out
is...
there working a 9-to-5, sometimes multiple jobs, like...
They have the same feelings.
Certainly the thing that I'm saying right now, they're like, you motherfucker, you're around all the... That's a lot of time around. So what I'm saying is, even as someone who is around a lot, mm-hmm. you still feel like you're not
right.
around a lot.
Yeah.
I wish I could figure out how to either manipulate that feeling
mm-hmm.
Or how to take those moments where I am taking care of myself and stop doing that and just go, you know what, today... I'm not going to go play golf.
Right.
Because that's a 4-hour thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do this other thing. And it's hard for me. Mm-hmm. It's a part of my personality because of where I come from. But then it's also just a part of my ego that's in there.
The compartmentalization of road life and home life.
Yeah.
To make that transition so frequently was what kind of made me be like, I can't do it anymore. Because I realized that I was not being... present enough
yeah.
when I was home because I couldn't like
well,
turn it off.
You're going crazy.
Yeah.
You're going you're, on you Thursday feel... mornings, you're going to an airport.
Yeah.
And you're just doing that is its own anxiety.
Right.
That has effects on you long term.
But to come home and just be like, okay, now I'm not going to think about myself at all for 3 days is like, you know, it's really hard to make that switch.
Yeah.
And it's hard. We're talking about in our specific mode. But yeah, anybody even working a 9-to-5, like you're at work all day long.
Yeah.
You have a boss or whatever.
Yeah.
Annoying customers, whatever it is in your job. And then you just got to come home and turn all that off and be like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm only here for you is the idea.
But also think about like if you work, you know, let's say your dad. I don't know anything about your dad, so I can't say. But when you said like working a warehouse job, mm-hmm. working like a blue collar job. Working class, and you are going in super. My dad worked at the post office. You're going in super early, and when you're getting off work, there's also an element of one. Let's say you're the person who's like, "Man, I'm missing my whole kid's life." That's not everybody. Some people don't give a shit,
right?
But if yeah. you are, even no matter how you feel, you're still kind of angry that no matter how good your job is.
Mm-hmm.
You still get angry at the job.
Sure.
I'm so lucky to have this job.
Yeah, we're insanely
lucky.
But it
becomes a job.
Yeah.
And you do start to get mad at elements of it because you only know your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
You can sympathize and empathize with people, but, you know, when people go, oh, yeah, but you've got it good, it's like, who does know that?
Yeah.
Even when you look at a billionaire and you go, shut the fuck up, it's like, well, I don't have $1 billion, so I don't know what that brain is to go, oh, I have these
they're
issues.
Mad, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? They're just mad
that's,
about...
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think we're under some sort of construct where we go, well, if you have a lot of money, it should be better, but it's like, sure, certain areas, probably. Well,
there is that study where it's diminishing
returns.
Surgery.
You're able to get surgery.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's neat.
It's diminishing returns. There's a certain number of like life standard of living
yeah.
where after that, no one is happier.
Right.
That no matter how much money they have.
Right.
It's like, I forget what the quotient is, but in different cities because it costs different amounts.
Yeah.
But it's something in New York and LA, it's something like $130,000 a year or something like that.
Right.
Like after that, you aren't happier
right.
with more money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we all relate,
yeah.
I think, to this thing. And
because some people would be like, well, if you have that much money, you can go on these crazy vacations. But who's to say that crazy vacations are fun?
Right.
Who's to say those make you happy? Who's
oh,
to
man.
Say like, oh, yeah, I was able to rent a yacht. I've never rented a yacht, so I couldn't tell you why that would be fun or not fun.
Right.
But I could already in my head, I'm like, I bet you the
but
whole
you know
time
what?
You're just like, oh, man.
I bet having a kid would make it a pain in the ass. I can barely enjoy this. I'm trying to enjoy this yacht. We don't have any fruit snacks on the yacht.
Yeah. But I mean, but the overall idea of what we're saying is that it's hard to speak to other people's realities. But in my own, even though I do and am very blessed to have a lot of time with my kid, even still, I wonder if I've put in enough time.
Sure.
Because my wife and her have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're very close.
Right. Which is also, remember, natural at that age.
But I think for a while, Yes, because that is 100%. I mean, this grew inside this person, so naturally they're connected. She came out of her. You're connected.
She's going to go through a period where she's closer to you.
Sure. There's moments where
you want to take that time. You want to rub it in your wife's face as much as possible.
I try to when I have those little glimpses. But even that, I got depressed the other day because I was like, oh, for like 2 or 3 years, they were like such best friends, and I wondered. I was like, well, shit, was I not around? I mean, when our child was born, is when I really became obsessed with golf. So like as a very tiny baby,
yeah.
And I regret this, and this almost feels good to say to get the regret off your chest. It doesn't change it. But I used to be like, hey, I'm going to go play golf because it's like, we just have the baby. And my wife was like, chill with that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
But it wasn't, I think my wife was just being chill with it. It wasn't like I did it every day.
Right.
But to have done it at all was wrong. And I look back and I go, if there's one thing I could change about being a dad, I would go back and not have done that. Because I think not.
As a father or as a partner?
Both.
Okay.
Because I think what I didn't do was be there to like be supportive. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I didn't do was just that constant contact and voice and just being around a kid and laying that foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it now where I'm like, oh, and now we're starting to get that. But she's almost 5 and then like off to school. And I have this vision in my head. I'm like, once I turn 5 and they're off to school, it's like, well, then they're off to school on this schedule that eventually ends at 18, but then they're gone, and like, and I just go down this spiral of negativity where it is depressing, but it is also just life, you know?
Yeah.
I think about that time period a lot.
I think we also make the mistake of framing our relationship for a while because, you know, we're still relatively new, 4 years and 6 years, whatever, still relatively new to parenting, you know, compared to somebody who's got a teenager or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that we still, especially in the early years, frame that relationship a little bit like we've framed our other ones, like friendships and other relationships, where you're like, if I'm not there enough, then we can just say, we just decide not to do this anymore. Like if it's not working out, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we tend to forget that our kid, we're going to love them no matter what, and they're going to love us no matter what, and there's really nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that takes a little bit of the pressure off in terms of, like, you're going to have time, they're going to understand, you know, whatever. Yeah. You don't have to – I guess what I'm saying is you don't have to, like, beat yourself up all the time over that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, going to golf once a month or something, I don't think that would have been a problem. If you're going, every other
– this was not once a month. Once a month? Once a month?
You're like, no, I'm good at this.
I love golf. It also is a couple things. I grew up playing sports.
Right.
And I played soccer, basketball, tennis. I played everything. But I played soccer the most. And
hey, that ass doesn't lie. I can tell you've been playing sports your whole life.
You've seen these legs. And I, because of that, that's a part of your, that's a part of like a high or a drug or whatever. I really like team sports. I really like playing. But as soon as I started doing stand-up, you know, that went away. And I would play pickup stuff every now and then. And I still even now play pickup stuff and it's fun. But I had played golf before and I didn't really give a shit. I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one time I played before she was born and something clicked in and it became
the
obsession. Started to fill that void where it's I don't have sports. And then I play golf and I was like, oh, but I do have this sport and this sport can go till I'm 80.
Right.
Like I found the sport that physically you can keep playing, you know, within reason. And I got like so excited about that because I didn't realize that was a part of my soul playing sports.
Right.
And then when it was gone, I kind of didn't notice it until that moment where I was like, oh, fuck, I can play this. And I was overjoyed. And I hate that it hit at the time that
it
hit.
Well, you can't make that, you know.
You can't change it. But
you
also,
know what other sport you can play till you're 80?
High lie.
No. I was going to say loving your child. But high lie also. All right, we'll
be
right back
believable.
With more Your Two Dads.
Hey, Julian.
What's up, dude?
You still selling baby clown figurines on eBay?
Like, Well, I always said I'd get out. I'd one last sale and I'd get out, but I just love doing it too much.
Yeah, and I love that you sell them.
These sweet baby clowns.
But are you tired of spending all your money on shipping these sweet baby
clowns?
I
almost had to stop doing it because the shipping costs were too much, and it was just taking too much time.
My dude, that's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders, especially baby clown figurines.
That's amazing, because what I was doing before was I was fitting as many baby clowns into one car that I could, and then I would drive it to someone's house, and then they would all come out at the same time. But that was so expensive and time-consuming.
That is, but this is why ShipStation is great. Like, no matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, mm-hmm. eBay.
Right.
ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone.
That sounds awesome. That's exactly what I've been needing.
And it works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customers.
I understand that it makes it easier, but am I also saving money, or am I just paying the same amount for convenience?
My boo-boo, you are saving money.
It's not costing me more money?
It's not. It's saving you money. It That's saves amazing. Money on shipping costs and keeps your customers happy. And nothing keeps customers happy more than saving on shipping and also getting baby clown figurines. And right now, Your Two Dads listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code 2DADS. That's T-W-O DADS. There's absolutely no risk, and you can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in 2DADS, T-W-O DADS. That's ShipStation.com, then enter promo code 2DADS,
now,
T-W-O
hold on.
DADS.
Hold on. I forgot what I was going to say.
ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
So Rory and I were having a good conversation, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
We'll keep it. How is your back, by the way? How's it feeling?
You know, it doesn't. Here's what it feels like. It feels like somebody went crazy on my back, my lower back, with a baseball bat.
Oh, man.
But I took some sort of pill, and now I feel cool.
Okay. You seem cool.
Yeah, I feel like a cool pill guy now.
There's a cool kind of vibe coming through,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it was a chill pill.
Oh, maybe it was, but I came up with a game. My game is called How Many Kids?
Okay, How Many Kids? Okay, got it. So how do we play How Many Kids?
Okay, this game is easy. I'm going to give you a celebrity's name, and you have to guess how many kids they have.
Love
if
that.
You're right, if you're right, you must decide if it's too many or just right or no, or get the fucking.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Just be careful. There's some curveballs, and now here's the theme song. How many kids? How many kids? How many kids do beat the left half?
Oh, that's great.
That's a good theme song.
You know what I like about it? You know what the game is just from the song.
And you know it's going to be celebs.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be how many kids do they have?
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there. You know, I probably could have skipped my confusing intro when I summed it up perfectly in a song.
Yeah.
We're just going to edit all this to the point where you just sang the song, and then now we're going to play.
Okay, so here we go, guys. Drum roll.
Wait, how do we ring in? Oh, we're both guessing first.
Yeah, you can just say,
Are we on a
team?
Are we on a team?
No, we're fighting each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a versus scenario.
Okay.
I mean, I hope you guys talk after this, because it might get heated. All right, first one, Bill Pullman. How many kids does Bill Pullman have?
That guy, you know he fucks. Bill Pullman, I'm going to say 4.
I'm going to say 3.
Wait.
One of you is correct.
Wait, Paxton or Pullman?
And it's Rory.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man.
Now, my question is that too many for Bill Pullman?
You know what? I think that's a good amount. I think 3 is good.
I feel like 3, yeah, for him. If I had to measure his heart, I'd say there's enough love in there for 3.
For 3 kids.
Yeah, no more, no less. What was his last movie, Bill Pullman? What was he in? TV?
Oh.
Anything? What's he been in? Was he the Independence Day guy or is that Paxton?
Independence
Day? Nope, he's the Independence Day guy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all we need to know.
Okay. All right, here's one. Bill Paxton.
Oh.
Now, he's from Independence Day.
Yes.
Okay.
No. No.
He has...
I went first last time. You can go first this time.
He has 5 kids.
Whoa. Paxton. It does sound like
rest in peace.
Like
five
he's a
kids.
like a religious Paxton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's that channel Pax.
Catholic.
Which is a Christian Catholic.
And a ton of Pax.
Catholic.
Dude. A ton of Pax.
One. I'm going to say Paxton has 1 child.
Julian is closer because he has 2 kids.
And
I think what happened here
middle
is
of the
like
road,
he was on
Paxton.
Big Love. He was on Big Love, so you think he had a lot of kids.
Oh, I thought that was Pullman. I'm not trying to do this joke. I really always get, I just still get them confused. So he's Big Love.
Big Love.
Yeah, he's Big Love.
Okay.
Okay, here's another one. I'm getting away from the Bills for a second.
It's 1-1, by the way, the score.
Yeah, it's 1-1. Jay Leno.
None.
0.
You guys are both right. He has 0 kids.
Yeah.
But are his genes like his children? He treats his
denim.
Yeah.
This is denim.
You know, he never touches Tonight Show money, and he never had, or his wife.
Hey! He never touched his Tonight Show genes either.
Okay. Staying in comedy, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, man. I mean, do we know?
Yes.
9.
He has...
I say 9.
I think he has 2 different marriages, though. And so I think he has some older kids, and he's got some younger kids. I want to say he has 4 kids.
Guys, this is incredible. I wonder if you got this right. It is Julian. He has 9 kids.
He has 9 kids?
Kids?
I got that right? Wow.
That made my palms sweat.
Yeah.
To think about 9 kids makes my palms sweat.
The idea that he was just there for every single one of them from day one and just raised them
all. Is that true?
I have no idea. It sounds like a lot.
But
no,
I mean, but you assume you're like, oh, I think that opportunity's there. Because he dropped out. Like, I'm not doing like Daddy Daycare and Dr. Dolittle, but he wasn't like in the limelight nonstop.
Maybe he took a break to raise 9 children.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone was always talking about how, like, he got out of stand-up and stuff. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have time. He has 9 kids.
See, Eddie Murphy and I...
You can't go do open mics.
Eddie and Murphy and I did the same thing. We're very similar in that way, that we both kind of took a break from stand-up to focus on our children.
People say that.
Yeah.
They go, what 2 comics are, like, sort of on par? And it's like, Jimmy McCullough.
And Eddie Murphy. Murphy.
And, Eddie McCullough.
Yeah.
The brotherhood of stand-up.
That was a fun one. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, here's one. Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. That's a good question.
You said it like you didn't hear it the first time, but then heard it yourself.
That's
from
exactly
yourself.
What happened.
Oh, Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Well, I'm used to thinking about
late reaction. Oh, Kevin Costner.
I'm used to thinking about Kevin Costner on my own every day. It's rare that other people bring him up.
Kevin Costner has.
I have a number.
0 kids.
That's a good guess. I'm going to say 4.
Neither of you are right. It's 7 kids.
Whoa!
Jesus Lord.
That feels good, though. I like that.
Also slipped out of the limelight.
He is such... I mean, he's like the perfect dad face.
Yeah. As I was doing the research for this, it turns out if you are really career-driven, you have... a lower amount of kids.
Yeah.
But if you have dropped out in like 1994, you have all the kids.
You've got a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about this one? Christopher Walken.
Oh. Now,
this is a good game.
It's a good game. I'm going to say, and he's old, right? He's like 80.
I'm going to say 75. 3 kids.
75.
I'm going to say 3 kids.
I think there's a pattern
to
this game.
Fucks.
I think there's a pattern to this game. I think Christopher Walken fucks. I'm going to say 11.
That would
be. You think 11?
Honestly,
yeah, 11 and 3.
Can I just say, I hope to God it is so stupidly high. I hope it's 11.
Yeah.
God, I want it to be 11.
I want you to meet my 11.
It's 22.
What?
Guys, it is zero.
The opposite of 11.
And through my research, it's because he thinks they're too expensive. He saw a lot of actors drop out of acting school but once they had kids. So he decided then and there he would never have a child.
So after his 30-second movie, wasn't he like, maybe I won't have to go to acting school anymore?
I think he still goes to acting school. And everyone's like, is that Christopher Walken? And they're like, surely not.
And they call roll, and he's like, here.
Here.
I'm here.
And he does a monologue, and it's not good. And everyone's like, what? What? Why is it? Why is he not good? And then he looks at you, and he winks, and he goes, that's why I'm in the class.
I wonder if he's ever played a father. Oh, he did in that Suicide Kings movie.
He played a father in Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
An absentee one.
Yeah, so he knew it. He was great. Like, I don't have kids. I don't have kids. This is easy.
All right, what's next? Yeah. Wait, what's the score?
It's 3-2 Julian somehow.
Okay.
Did I get closer? Do I get closer for Christopher Walken?
You do get closer. You know what? A half a point. I'm going to give you a 0.5.
Man, you're giving yourself a hard scorekeeping job here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, guys, I'm a muscle relaxer. I'm not keeping score.
Dude, guys, it's 12-2. Like, have you done 14?
Yeah.
Nope.
You know what's annoying is because this is $400-$500, so it's kind of weird that he just stopped keeping score.
I wish he cared more.
Okay, what's
okay. the next one? This is the last one. This is for all the marbles. I'm throwing it. This is worth 5 points.
Okay.
All right. This one, it's curveball. It's not a dad. It's a mom. Betty White.
Oh. Betty White.
Ooh. Keep in mind, she's 95 years old.
Right.
So still, she had and a baby, still having kids.
If she had a baby every year, so she'd 95. Have something like 90. That's ridiculous, Rory. She can't have kids. She's like got 80 kids.
Oh, because, okay, yeah.
I would say, Betty White. 6 children.
I am going to say, I'm going to... Price is right.
Are you gonna Price is right me and say
I'm gonna go 5?
Oh,
children.
You son of a bitch!
You know what? Rory's closer. She has 0 kids.
I was gonna say 0.
Oh man,
you guys.
Oh, that's
you
why her nickname
tied.
Is Baron Betty.
Oh,
it just now makes sense.
Oh yeah, I guess that is offensive.
Yeah.
Oh,
I always thought it was funny till now knowing.
Yeah,
that
now
it's
I
very
know that
real.
It's real. Did she ever say why she didn't have kids?
Oh, because she wanted a career.
Oh, wow.
See? She gets it.
She never saw that Sarah Jessica Parker movie where you can have it all?
What movie is that?
I think it's called You Can Have It All.
I think it's All of It.
All of It.
Having All of It. All of It and then some.
Well, I guess we have to go to the tiebreaker, guys. Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, none of us got that.
Here we go,
all right,
the tiebreaker.
Let's do another one.
Well, Rory was closer, so it's now tied 3-3. The tiebreaker is... Matt Dillon. Now keep in mind,
Matt Dillon.
He hasn't worked in a while.
Right.
Oh,
okay. That's a hint.
Like a hint.
It does. Well, we know we got those two lovely ladies pregnant at the same time in Wild Things.
That's right.
So that's at least 2 kids.
He's got 4.
That's a movie.
He's got 4 kids.
4 kids. I'm going to. Ooh, Matt Dillon's got 1 kid.
Julian's closer. He wins. He has 0 kids.
This game.
I wish.
What is the lesson of this game?
I wish they were all 0. Every single one was 0.
That would have been great if every single one was 0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have taken a long time before we started guessing 0.
It would have taken more commitment to do that than for most of these people and their children.
We would have gotten the first 3 wrong.
Yes.
We wouldn't have guessed 0 first. You wouldn't have guessed 0 second. And then on the 3rd one, you'd have been like, oh, now he's going to switch it up.
Yeah.
And you would have gotten, we would have gotten the first 3 wrong.
The research I did for this is I Googled what celebrities have the most kids, and that it was Eddie Murphy 9, Kevin Costner 7, and then Kevin James 4. So I was like, oh, what celebrities don't have kids?
Oh,
and that was much easier to find.
Yeah.
So
well, there you
who
go.
Won? I won?
You won.
All right.
Yeah, you won.
$500.
You won.
I get to keep hosting this show.
You get to keep the show, and you get $500.
Sean, we hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Do you know what this? Do you know what this
I'm
means?
Sorry, I wasn't there.
We'll talk about your back in the intro.
Yes.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
All right, Rory, well, you're almost off the hook. What do you got coming up? You want to talk about anything? What's coming out? So what's your thing you're most proud of that you have done? Is it one of your specials or?
My child.
Oh.
You know, honestly, I don't know. I am proud of my second special, the one that's on Netflix, because I really did work on that one.
Yeah.
And I feel as someone who, even when I do work hard, I sometimes don't give myself the credit because a lot of times I just do the bare minimum to get by.
Yeah.
Still, even now. And that's one special where I know I didn't do the bare minimum.
Right.
So even when people...
Oh, is that the one with the intro where you're like a
crazy
rock star guy? Yeah, that was great. That was
even
a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But even the people on Twitter or Instagram who feel the need to tell me that I should die and I'm not funny and
Whoa!
I shouldn't have
people do that to you?
People do that. What they don't know is that, like, to know that I actually worked at it, I'm like, honestly, there's stuff that I do where you could say that and I'd be like,
you got it wrong.
You're right.
They got it wrong.
But in this one, I'm like, I disagree.
Yeah.
I really do like it. Yeah, so I'm proud of that. And then I have a show coming out next year. That's called Rory Scovel Tries Stand Up for the First Time. So you can probably guess what my next special will be. Stand Up for the Last Time.
Ah.
And I will be retiring. That will be it.
And then you're done.
And then I'm done.
Okay.
But yeah, I shot a show for Comedy Central that comes out next year. Fingers crossed that it's January, but I don't really know when it'll be out. But
what's that called?
It's called Robbie, and it's been an ongoing project for a while, and it was a lot of work. And while our showrunner, Anthony King, I would say did all of the work outside of the acting. I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of this project he has captained, and I think it's going to be. I mean,
that's
to
awesome.
Me, it's
so
good,
you're Robbie, so. And you play a you're
I play
a
Robbie,
coach,
Southern,
right?
Southern Church League basketball coach.
Church League basketball coach.
Yeah.
So
and I find out I have a son.
The cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best coaches.
The best of the best.
The
players.
Dads who signed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find out I have a son in the pilot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be good. But,
that's great.
Who knows? Who fucking knows?
I'm sure it's great.
This business, it's throwing pasta at the wall.
Yeah.
And seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple noodles right now.
You know what sticks? Debt.
Yeah, forever.
Well, thanks so much. Check out Rory's special, the one that he likes. Rory tried to stand up for the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
And, and, you know... That's it, right?
Go to my website. If you want to see a live show.
Oh, you keep your website current?
Yeah,
wow.
I'm just as blown away as you are because I don't know how to
you
work it.
You are neglecting your child.
I don't know how to work it. Now I get some dates, and I'm like, I better load these dates in here so tickets are bought. But
yeah.
I don't think that's how anyone buys tickets.
I can't think of anyone who's ever bought a ticket that way. But I've gotten yelled at by clubs. They're like, why aren't we on your website? I'm
exactly.
like, because no one has ever looked at it.
Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, thanks so much, Rory.
Thank you.
All right. Go kiss that kid for me.
You got it.
But just for me. Say, that wasn't from me. That was from my friend Joy.
Obviously.
All right. Bye-bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.